by my watch, it's 10 after, God willing. I will preach to you for about 30 minutes, and so that will be 8:40. The message tonight is a solemn charge to a young man from an old man whose time of departure has arrived. So 2 Timothy 4. I can tell you some things as we go along, others perhaps I will explain later. But it will read a little differently in the variety of Bibles that we have here. We have the King James, the 1901, the New International Version. So I will try to explain things to show you what the text literally means. So starting at chapter 4 in 2 Timothy verse 1, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. But the time will come when they will not endure the sound but having itching ears, will keep to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside unto fables. But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. And this is the departure. I am already being offered, and the time of my departure is come. Here is the departure of a man who calls himself Paul the Aged, an old man's solemn plea to a young man when he's ready to depart. Another word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the things that you preserve for us in the Holy Scriptures. All things that pertain to life and godliness are in our hands. We would like to know so much more, but all that we need to know, our Father, we have in our hand. We thank you for the infinite Word of God. We've read from it. We desire to learn, to have these truths impressed upon our hearts this night. So bless us to that end, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This is one of the most solemn presentations of a responsibility that is being placed by an old man upon a young man that you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. There are other charges and responsibilities that are laid before them, but Paul in this instance says, I charge thee, and the word is that I thoroughly bear witness to thee. And it can be translated, I adjure you. I almost, under oath, place you. And I'm telling you these things. This is a solemn responsibility charged from an old man to a young man. And then there are four things that are mentioned. In the King James, it's a little different. But there are four things that are mentioned, and they will come down to the same thing. I charge thee in the sight of God, and of Christ Jesus, and then he tells us about this one, Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and then he charges him because of his appearing and of his kingdom. Four of the most important things in the Word of God. You have God the Father, and you have God the Son. You have the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the reign of Jesus Christ in his kingdom when he comes. And concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shall judge the living and the dead. Now, if a man approaches you and speaks of these things, then I want to know what he's going to say next after he lays this solemn charge, this responsibility upon me. And it is this. He says, preach the word. remarkable things. Something more important than that must be told a young man to do. Nothing more important than preach the word. And he tells him how to take that word and how to preach it and how to present it to the professed people of God. Because you wonder, as you read this entire passage, if they are truly children of God or if they are professed children of God because of the behavior that is going to take place in their lives. Paul has a gift of seeing the future. And I told you what he said in Acts chapter 20, what was going to happen at Ephesus when he left. He saw the evils that would arise. And here, when he's ready to leave, not Ephesus, but ready to leave this world and go to be with the Father, he sees other evils that shall arise. But he says, before they do, I want you to do all in your power to prevent their coming, to strengthen some who are going to take their stand when this change takes place, and this is the way that it's to be done. Preach the word. Now that's a remarkable thing. What am I to do? A dying man is leaving, and he places a responsibility upon me. What am I to do? Preach the word. Well, I thank God for this, that as one commended to the work of the Lord for over 40 years, that's the only thing that I've ever done. I've never known how to do anything else. There are those who know how to prepare messages and say humorous things, but the only thing I've known how to do is to preach the word of God. And there are those that would say, you preach the word too often. You preach it at inappropriate times. And then I read this passage and say, oh, no, I don't. Because we have to preach the word in season and out of season. Well, then that means that there is no time at which we are not to preach the word of God. And if you try preaching it out of season, you will understand that many people believe that they know what in season means. And they will say at a more convenient season. But what God wants us to understand is that the word of God is to be preached, and is to be preached in season and out of season. And that's what I've tried to do. There are times when you should minister the word of God. There are other times that you should be polite and not minister the word of God. That is the etiquette of the world. But according to God's word, there is no time that you are not to preach the word. And when you preach the word, in this instance it says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So here is preaching the word, and you do it in a threefold way, and then a fourth way. You do it by reproving, rebuking, exhorting, and you do it with doctrine. This is what is to be done in season and out of season. And passages like this refresh my soul, because I come and I tell the people of God these things. I tell them in confusion the word of God. And you say, Lord, have I done this in the right manner? Have I placed too much upon them? And then I come to this portion and I see that I haven't given them enough. And I thank God that the only thing that I've done is to present to them the word of God. So please notice, preach in season and preach out of season. Now, turn to Deuteronomy 6. I want to give you an example, because this exhortation that is given to Timothy, you'll find, also has its relationships to all the Christians as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, And when you rise up, tell me then, when is the word of God not to be presented to the people of God, and in this instance especially to your children? If that wasn't enough, turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11. Verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up my words in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So that means that when you put your children to bed, to read and tell them a Bible story and pray with them is in order. When they get up in the morning, before you send them out into the world, the thing to do is to tell them the Word of God. When you go for a walk, you talk to them about the Word of God. And when you sit down in the house, you talk to them about the Word of God. Well, what time is not included? You say, when I'm sitting, when I'm lying down, when I'm rising up, when I'm walking, when I'm telling them the Word of God all the time. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. It's not a thing when we send our children to Sunday school and perhaps for 30 minutes they get a lesson. But it is a constant teaching, not only by the Sunday school teacher, but by the fathers and mothers. It says to remember the law of thy mother and bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For how intense, how extensive is this to be? Only when you sit down, when you rise up, when you lie down, and when you walk by the way. Any other time, you do not have to teach them the Word of God. You say, but that's all the time. This is what God is telling us. And he repeated it again and again. And now the Apostle Paul is telling us to do the same thing. Children, yes. So that when they grow up, they will be strong in the Word of God and less likely to depart from the faith. And also when they grow up, when you see the people of God not being taught, not being grounded in the truths of God, not being able to say with the Apostle Paul, I know, and I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be able to do, to know the Word of God so thoroughly that when a man speaks error, we say, that is error. Do you realize that right now, that you as individuals are to be listening to what I say, and judging whether it is the Word of God or not? It says in 1 Corinthians 14, let the prophets, those that speak the mind of God, speak two and three at a time, and let the others judge. Judge what? Whether that man is speaking the Word of God. And this is what is to be done. God's Word is to be spoken, and you, as listeners, are to be judging whether it is in harmony with the Word of God, and whether error is being taught. Let it not come in. And when it does come in, and when error arises, and when immorality arises, this is what is to happen. It says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And it says, to be urgent. This is the way the word is translated in 1901. Not instant, but be urgent. And so you say, but what is the urgency? What is the urgency? It says the time of departure, not only me, but the time of departure from healthy teaching by the Church of Jesus Christ is going to come to pass. And what do? We do everything we can to maintain the health by sound doctrine, by preaching it incessantly to the people of God. And so if a criticism is this, that you talk about the Word of God too much, I say, praise God. What is spoken in 2 Timothy 4, I'm being told that I'm doing it. Use discretion, but at the same time, look for every opportunity to mention the Word of God for the lost as well as the saved. Let me tell you this. I was invited out to supper last night. And while I was waiting, I was looking at these goldfish. And a man came up and he started talking about those goldfish. And I said, now how am I going to get a word in? And as we were looking at them, these exotic fish, I said, who can look at fish like these and not believe that there was a God. And the man is startled, and then I was going to do what I could to witness to it. I have been so guilty of this, if I may put it that way, that people have been afraid. May I tell you one other compliment about myself? Just this. There was a dear friend I used to have named Robbie Pyle in Cleveland. And I was invited there every year for a month or two at a time. And I would preach the Word of God. And a big event was coming up. They owned this large bakery. And it was something like a 25-year celebration. And they were going to invite the mayor and all the celebrities of the city, all the important people, and they were going to have a speaker, a religious speaker. And this is what Bobby Pyle told me. He said, John, he said, we want the Word of God preached, and we have to get a special man, but I'm not going to have you to speak because you will tell them the truth. Isn't that lovely? And do you realize whom they invited in? A politician. A professed Christian that was a politician, that could be socially correct. But thank God, it means that what is here, you're going to tell them. But even though I did not get to speak, when I was at a meeting like that with all the celebrities, as I recall it, I was sitting next to the mayor's wife, and I still had an opportunity to witness to the woman. And so the Word of God says, in season and out of season. But that mayor's wife, I can still remember the way that she politely turned away from me and heard nothing. But she heard the truth of God. One other thing, there was a famous Metropolitan Opera star singer named Jerome Hines, and he had come and he was preaching to Jews in the synagogue to raise money. And now he was going to preach to this group. And he said, and when I preached to the Jews, he said, I knew just how to preach to them. This is what I said to them. I come here representing someone. You know who he is. I do not have to mention his name. And I said to the man, well, at this meeting tonight, why don't you tell them that you come here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ? And so I went to the meeting that night. And this man, he's about 6 feet six tall. He said, I'm here tonight to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I smiled and sat in my seat and said, praise God. So you see, you're to be urgent and notice what is happening here and what kind of preaching you're to do. Listen, reprove, rebuke, exhort. What kind of preaching is that? You say, the people that need prodding, that have gone astray, that need restoration. Of course. And that's just what Paul is telling Timothy. This is what you have to do. You have to be urgent about it. You have to be incessant about it. And at the same time, there has to be this solemn responsibility placed upon you, and you have to take it to heart, or else it will not be done. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To think that a man could be so filled with the responsibility of presenting his Savior that he says, if I do not preach the gospel, woe is me. And we are seeking every opportunity to evade suffering shame going without the camp. But Paul says, woe is me, not if I do, but if I do not preach the gospel. So all of you remember this, that it is not one messenger, but all of us are messengers. We then are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, now I am to have boldness, because at times, when you witness to a person, they may say to you, mind your own business. But if God says, we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the God of heaven sending us an ambassadors, then we are minding our business. And also, when you try to tell the people of God, when you reprove them, rebuke them and exhort them, they say, judge not that you be not judged. I don't know any Christian that's not familiar with that portion of the Word of God. But God said that this is what we are to do. Now let me give you a little rundown of these words. They're similar and yet they are distinct. When it says reprove, rebuke, exhort. The first word, reprove, you wouldn't recognize it, but it's what you are to do when your brother sins against you. In Matthew chapter 18, it says, if thy brother sin against thee, reprove him. Now, in the King James, it says, go tell him his fault. But it says, reprove him. This is what we are to do. Let me give you another example. And what is so important about the examples I give you are not only that they are scriptural, but if it says, reprove him, what word shall I use? If you keep looking, you will find the very words that are used when these exhortations are carried out. I'll give you another one. You will find that in Luke chapter 3, that when Herod took his brother's wife, Philip was his brother, it says that John the Baptist reproved him. And so he said, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. And what other words would go along that way? And so our responsibility is this. When sin is committed, we have to reprove people about that sin. And this is what is the encouragement to our heart. We are to do the reproving. Now, let me give you two examples of the other. It says, rebuke. And instead of turning to them, I will simply tell you. When our Savior had been confessed by Peter as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter was congratulated. But soon our Savior was telling the disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be crucified and the third day rise again. And it said, Peter took him aside and started rebuking the Lord. But the Lord turned to Peter and rebuked him. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Now you see, I've given you not only the usage of the word, but an example of it. And this one is brilliant. You'll find in Luke chapter 23 that when two thieves are crucified with the Lord Jesus in grief, one of the thieves said to the other, do you not even fear God, seeing that you're in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Now, that is what a rebuke is. And this one also is of great importance. It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 3, if your brother sin against you, rebuke him. And so that means that if you sin against me, I am to rebuke you. You say, but that is when you make the Christian life a difficult thing. Yes, what happens is that you usually sin against me, and I do not rebuke you. It festers in my heart, and I hold this hatred and this anger. And it says in Luke 19, at Leviticus 19, it also says this. It says, you shall surely rebuke your brother, reprove him. You tell him, you shall not get sin in your heart. You shall not hold grudges, because your brother's sin can turn out to be your sin. And so notice, in Matthew 18, it says, if your brother sins, the word is, reprove him, go tell him his fault. And it says in Luke 17, if your brother sin against you, rebuke him. And so it means that not only do I have the right to do it, but if you sin against me, I have the solemn responsibility to reprove you and to rebuke you. And your responsibility, in this case, if you repent, I'm to forgive you. You say, if he repents, yes. So there are these responsibilities laid upon us. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and I will simply tell you this. You may find in Luke chapter 3 that John the Baptist, it says, with many exhortations, preached he the word of God to them. And before you come to that verse, you find all the exhortations that John the Baptist gave. You see the importance of these illustrations, not only telling you what the word means, but showing the use when someone actually reproved, rebuked. And then this other word is reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So here are exhortations in the Word of God, but the word exhortations is the same root word that we get in John's upper room discourse, the paraclete. The word to exhort means to call to one side. You are asking for assistance. And so the exhortation, when someone comes to your side and tells you something, gives you assistance, he may give you a rebuke, he may give you a reproof, he may comfort your heart, because the word is translated in so many different ways. Not all of these things are to be used, and this, it says, and doctrine. You have to get sound doctrine. And so I thought, Lord, today I said, I told them not about the fig tree alone in Mark 11, but I told them about the fig tree in Luke 13, and I told them about the fig tree in Mark 13, and I told them about the fig tree in, and then I went on and showed you all the Old Testament things. I said, have I done too much? And then I looked at the Word of God and said, no, it's exactly what I'm to do. And this is what the Savior said in Matthew 13. It says, after he's given all of these parables to the disciples, he said, have you understood all these things? And they said, yes. He said, therefore, every scribe that has been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. And that's my responsibility. And this is what Peter says. We are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so whatever you have, you as a good steward are to pass it on to the people of God. This is what God is expecting of us. And it says it is to be done fervently, and at the same time, it is to be done in the light of God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kingdom, his rule on earth when he comes. All of these things are to be in our mind. And if you think of these things and their great importance, well, whatever might happen, whatever insults and reproach that might come upon us for our faithfulness in witnessing these truths to the people of God and the Word of God, then they mean nothing in the light of all of these other things. Now, why is it to be done? It's to be done under all circumstances, but especially under these circumstances. It says, because the time is going to come when the professed people of God will not endure sound doctrine, but they, having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will be listening to fables. And that's why all of this preaching is to take place. And how does it happen? Let me give you this illustration. There was a prophet of God in 1 Kings 22, and his name was Micaiah. And there was wicked King Ahab, and there was Jehoshaphat. And they got together, and they were going out into battle. And Jehoshaphat, who had a semblance of reverence for God, he said, well, before we go out, let's consult the prophets and ask them what's going to happen. And so Ahab gets 400 of his prophets, and all of them say, go and you'll be victorious. And then Jehoshaphat said, well, don't you have another prophet here except those 400 prophets? And this is what Ahab said. He said, yes, there's another one, but he never prophesied good things to me, and for that reason, I'm excluding him. I'm not inviting him in. And Jehoshaphat said, there did not be, don't say such a thing. And Micaiah came in, and then Micaiah told them the truth of God, that it would be a disaster if they went out and fought this battle. And the king said to him, take him to prison and feed him on bread and water until I return. And Micaiah said, if you return at all in peace, God hath not spoken by me. And when they went forth, what Micaiah told them occurred. Now, what happened is this, that the people of God, eventually, instead of hearing the things that are true and what God wants you to hear, they will be like the Israelites in the wilderness. Do you not think that God would know what diet would be good for his people? And so God from heaven would send the manna, for 40 years. And when they ate that manna, they said, our souls loathe this like bread. And so this is what happens when you give them the pure word of God, manna, Jesus Christ from heaven. Our souls loathe this. And because of that, the time will come when they will no longer accept someone who gives them manna as God would send it from heaven, but they'll get someone after their own desires, one whose ears will be tickled by them. And so they have itching ears, and I've seen dogs and cats, and they love it when you get there. They love for you and rub their ears. And I have a dog next door that I go over and I'll rub his ear, and when I stop, he'll nudge my hand again and say, rub that ear. And alas, the time is coming when people are having itching ears, not for the good things, not for helpful teaching, but for sinful teaching, for myths, for fables. And it says they will keep themselves teachers. So by God's grace, I'll do everything in my power to prevent that and have your soul filled with the truth till that day comes. Now, time is coming. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful that you give us the warnings and you tell us what to do about them. We pray, Father, that we shall not be taken by surprise. Have you not told us this day should overtake you as a thief? But we see what you told us is going to come upon us. And we pray, our God, that we shall be faithful, that we shall be urgent, that we shall preach the word in season, out of season. We shall reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And our Father, delay as long as possible this catastrophic time that is coming when the true preachers of the Word of God will be shunned and false teachers will be brought in that itching ears might be tickled. Our Father, may it never be true of us. May we be those who are faithful. We remember that your Son said, nevertheless, there are some that are faithful, and they shall walk with me in white. May we be among those who walk with your Son and not listen to fables, but to the true Word of God. Protect us and prevent these things from becoming true in our lives, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ.